Put, put, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Reaction to baby-faced Gabe is coming in fast and furious on the Carbless Talkin' text line, 800-990-3776. Liss is more. We will get to that reaction as the show goes on, but do not be alarmed if you happen to swing over to the YouTube stream and see what looks to be an imposter, a substitute sitting in Gabe's chair. It is actually Gabe Neitzel. Jason Wilde has known Gabe for, I want it, probably decades at this point. And that's how long you've been working for the network.
Yeah.
For the company.
I probably met Jason for the first time in probably like 2009, 2010, something like that.
Were you babyface Gabe when you met him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jason, what do you think? That.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I think it was earlier, Gabe. I think it was like maybe 06.
Okay.
Because I started doing stuff for GKB long before I was a full-time teammate. Look, I'm not here to tell anyone how to do their job. But if you want to get people to tune in to a video stream.
This is the way.
And the tease is, what the hell happened to Gabe's face? I'll be honest. You know, Josh, he sent me a picture, and he's filling me in. I'm like, no, I didn't tell him because I was saving it for on the air. But I'm like, no, you don't have to tell me. I've been watching. Because if you're gonna ask me to watch by saying what the hell happened to Gabe's face, I get alerts from Twitter when you guys go live, and I was like, well, this I got to check out. Now, the good news is that this is very different than Brett Favre asking me what the hell happened to your face in Chicago in 1999. This is a good baby-faced, wholesome Gabe story, as opposed to in 99 when those guys were playing the Bears. And I go down there, and Tom Mulhern, my mentor, was on the trip, and Tom Oates, and I developed a staph infection.
Oh, no.
In my cheek. Mm. And so during the course of the night, to use like ball terms, it started out as like maybe a marble. And then when I woke up, it was like a golf ball. And by the time I got to the stadium, it was like I was eating a tennis ball. I mean, I look like the Elephant Man. And people were saying, Jason, what the hell happened to your face? In fact, Bob Harlan saw me. Because you remember, Chu, you guys used to stay in that Weston,
yeah,
right
Weston,
by
yeah,
the
yeah.
Hancock Tower,
Michigan,
right?
Off of and, Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan Avenue, yep. And so Bob Harlan, the kindest man I've ever known, him and Dick Bennett are kind of 1-2 on that category, sees me in the lobby before we're leaving for the stadium. He's like, Jason, are you okay? What? I said, I think I have some sort of infection. He's like, we got to get the docs to take a look at you. So I get to the stadium and they bring me down. It's the only time I think a reporter's ever been in the locker room before a game, mm-hmm. because Dr. Gray and Dr. McKenzie are looking at me, and the pressure is building up in my face. And I was hoping that they could, like, just drain it. And Doc Gray's like, look, I don't think I can do that. I think you should go to a hospital. I said, well, I can't not cover the game. It was my first year as our primary beat writer. So I cover the game. I'm in excruciating pain the whole game. I go down after the game for press conferences. I've got, like, an old purple – I remember this clear as day. I had my old purple Columbia jacket. I used to have it's like one of those ski jackets.
And oh, was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to have the collar up high enough so no one could see my face. And I asked Favre a question. And the whole room goes silent as he says, "Jason, what the hell happened to your face?" And everyone turns and looks at me like 100 people are staring at me in the room. And I'm like, I think I've got an infection. Doc Ray said I need to go to the hospital when I'm done here. And he's like, "Oh, I thought you got into a fight last night or something." So then the epilogue to that is, so Tom Mulhern drives me to UW Hospital when in Madison on our way back after I get done writing, of course. And I spent like 3 days in the hospital, and it took them that long to get the infection out. And I remember when the doctors finally lanced it, they said, "That was an impressive amount." And I said, "Thank you." And they said, "No, we don't mean it impressive that way. It means a lot." But they said that if Doc Gray had lanced it in the locker room to relieve the pressure in my face, I probably would have died because it would have gotten into my bloodstream, and I wouldn't have gone to the hospital quickly enough. So when you say, "What the hell happened to Gabe's face?" there is a domino effect that begins with me watching the show and ends with me thinking, "Oh my God, 26 years ago, someone asked me the same question, and it was Brett Favre." All right, sorry. Didn't mean to take over the show.
Jason, they picked up the option on Wyatt. What are they going to do with Quay?
Such a great segue. Very smooth. Look. They want Quay Walker on their team. I mean, Goody said it multiple times. Now, there was, and I'm forgetting his name now, so I know Josh, he'll help me out here. Baltimore yesterday picked up the fifth-year option. Lindenbaum. And they want to sign him to an extension. Now, I saved this for today since I didn't want to write it in yesterday's story about Wyatt. I wanted to focus on Wyatt. But look, this usually when the Packers don't pick up a fifth-year option, it's because they have no intention of keeping that guy. And if he somehow plays well during his walk year, then they will. But like Eric Stokes, Dayton Jones, Derek Sherrod, like they didn't pick up those options because they knew that those were misses as picks, right? In Nick Perry's case, they didn't pick it up. And then he had like his only great season in a Packers uniform and earned himself a big extension. From what Goody has told us, you know, in Quay's case, they want Quay long-term. They believe he's turned a corner. I agree. I thought he really had turned a corner. If you look at those Miami and San Francisco games last year, I thought he was really starting to become the player they were hoping him to be. I'm not saying he was Brian Urlacher, but he was starting to look like a guy that you want on your team long-term. So that's what Goody has said, but that guaranteed number for 2026 is a bigger number than they want to pay. And so that leaves them with two options. They can give him the fifth-year option and then work on replacing it with an extension, or they can say, "Okay, we're going to decline it, but it doesn't mean we're declining you." And they've got until, I think, close of business today, like 3 o'clock Central, to make that call.
Jason, with the Jair Alexander saga continuing, obviously a part of that is him agreeing to some sort of restructured contract. But in order for this to actually work, does there also need to be a reconciliation between him and the coaching staff?
Yeah, probably, right? I mean, look, can you tell how exhausted I am by this story?
Oh, yeah. It just refuses to go away.
It does. And you know, there's part of me that's thinking, too, like, if I'm one of the other teams that might be interested in him, now's the time to make the trade, right? Because now you can make it a conditional draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, you know, you can tie it to the number of games he plays and everything else. And so, look, I don't know how this is going to end. But, yeah, if there is going to be a reconciliation, and I don't know who Rob talked to, that led him to his report earlier this week about everything being on the table, trade, cut, or a reconciliation and him staying. I'm sure it is a very reliable source. I've said this 100 times. Coaches in the building, including the head coach, believe the guy can still play. And the conversation that I had about he's still a really, really good player, Jason. Yeah, when he plays, insert name of coach here, who I'm not going to say. And that, to me, that's the reality, right? And if they're willing to roll the dice one more time, I think this becomes the old George Bush-ism, right? Which is, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. You shouldn't fool people. Because I don't think, I don't know how you can go into the season and say, all right, well, he's going to be a 15-game starter for us this year. He's going to play at a Pro Bowl, all-pro level again. Hey, God bless them if they do, because I'm not trying to run them out of town. But I just, you know, the frustration with him was so palpable last year. You know, I will say this, the one guy who never publicly showed frustration, now he only talked to us once a week, but was Jeff Hafley. But we agree that Matt LaFleur, not to the degree that he showed with Bakhtiari or with going to London, but we can agree that Matt LaFleur showed frustration, yes, with the Jair situation, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But Jason, so, they can again, still shop him, right? I mean, his agent can still shop him.
For sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, they can, look, the only problem, and Rob does an awesome job, you guys know that. The only problem with that report, he did nothing wrong, but for him to have had the sourcing that he had previously, saying that, you know, it was basically a matter of when, not if, that they moved on from him and they were only keeping him because they were trying to trade him, to now this, I mean, his reporting is accurate. There's obviously been a shift after the draft in some way toward, well, maybe we can work this out, you know, stay together for the kids one more year. But the problem with it is now the folks that really want Jair to be here or really want the beat writers to be wrong on this, whatever group you're in the fan base, now because reconciliation has been included as a possibility, which it hadn't been before, now those folks, whether it's that for us to be wrong or for Jair to stay or both, are getting excited and thinking, okay, that's now... They see three options, but they only see one, if that makes sense. And now they're just thinking he's going to be on the team this year. And I'm still not sure that I would put that, if you were power ranking the odds of what's going to happen, I still think I would put that three.
My only hesitation
after being released.
My only hesitation, Jason, is this is going to require a certain level of maturity and evolution from the player. Look, we've all been in situations with our spouse where you resolve a situation, you resolve it in air quotes, but you still got lingering feelings about it, right? I'm concerned that there would be lingering feelings from the player that then might creep into the season and have an adverse effect. Is that fair or unfair?
No, it's fair to Dario.
I mean, I said I wasn't mad anymore, but I really still am, so I'm keeping my distance. Again, hypothetically speaking, of course.
I was proud of that. I thought that was pretty good. Yes, you're 1,000% right, Jen. I don't know what reconciliation looks like, right? And I think your air quotes are perfect because I feel like reconciliation comes with some air quotes. Now, again, and I know Rob's told this story. I've told this story before. Early in the season, you know, if it was fake, and I don't think it was, but maybe it was. I've been fooled before. But he really genuinely seemed... Jair, not Rob, to have really changed his outlook. And he used this line on both of us. Maybe the suspension was exactly what I needed. He loved the new strength and conditioning staff. He felt really good about being on the same page with the medical and the athletic training staffs. He really liked where he was at with Jeff Hafley. Like he really hit it. He said he really hit it off with Jeff Hafley. He loves Xavier McKinney, who, if you remember, the two of them were like sitting together in every meeting. Like the Xavier McKinney effect, in addition to him being a really, really good football player, was it appeared that it was also influencing a guy who had been something of a malcontent to become a guy that was bought in again. But then again, it's hard for me to forget You know, and look, I don't know what he would have said had I actually gotten to talk to him and the TV cameras not scared him off like a squirrel on my deck. But I would love to know what he would have said, because if you felt good about where you were at with the team and with how you were feeling about the coaching staff and the situation, then you do not proclaim on locker cleanout day that you guys don't want to talk to me. I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year. So something changed because of the injury and because of the way it was handled that took him from, I think that suspension might have been the best thing for me, and I'm really happy, and I've got great relationships with all the people in the building, into, I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year. And how you reconcile that, so then he is here, because now it is next year, I'm still not sure about that.
Jason, I saw the players were given numbers yesterday. Now, when I played in the Stone Ages, we weren't given an option. I was given 89, and Mark D'Onofrio, I don't know if you remember, was the second round pick. Mm-hmm. He was given a weird number. He wasn't given an I don't know about T-Suck. He might have, because he was a first-round pick. But how does it work now?
I didn't know that was his nickname. I'm going to be real
that's
honest.
That's the first time I've heard him say that.
I don't think T-Buck knew that it was his nickname either. Sounds like the kind of nickname you give behind somebody's back. Look, there are certain players that get opportunities to choose their number. There are others that have their number issued to them. I know Brian Bulaga has told the story about him getting his number. 75 was not his first choice either. There are also the negotiations that can go on with a player with an existing number that then the first-round pick would really like. Sometimes that works out. I know Sean Clifford gave up 8 last year for Josh Jacobs, which I don't think he made any money off of that. He just did it because it was the right thing to do. But I'm still trying to figure out, and maybe I'm from the Stone Age too, although I never called T-Buck T-Suck. 22 for your wide receiver?
It's a weird number.
I'm not sure I'm on board with that. But otherwise, yeah, I think most guys get them issued. And then if there's there can be an issue. My favorite one was when they issued 26 in recent memory, when they issued 26 to Darnell Savage, and then, and Josh is hipper on music than I, but there's a fella named 21 Savage.
21.
And so he was going to change his number to 21. And then he, didn't, because he would have had to pay for all the jerseys that already had 26 on them.
Oh, that's a good little story.
I mean, it would have been a high-selling jersey. Like, people everywhere would have been buying 21 Savage jerseys, yes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was short-sighted by him. That's a switch. All right, Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Lots of good stuff there. Weighing in on Gabe's baby face, giving us the latest on Jair Alexander, and, of course, Chewy's favorite topic, nicknames and numbers.
Golden might
Carter
just be
might
a
take
big, he might just be a big Doug Flutie fan. Who knows, Jason, right?
That certainly could be. Yes, indeed. All right. And Dario catching strays. All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be found on Wilde and Tausch and on a myriad of programs right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We will take a break. Roll on right for this. Stick around.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know, I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog. The corn dog for
the birthday. Pierogies and borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht,
oh,
let alone
God,
on their
it's
birthday.
So good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water, other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.